Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Liberty Squadron Podcast. My name is Andrew Lewinsky. This week I am joined with Jonathan Kevin Lee.
Hello everyone.
Rob, the dethroned Kaiser.
Yeah, hi.
And Michael, captain of Liberty Squadron Schiff.
The champ is here!
We have a new captain on board. Marshall, unfortunately, could not make it with us this week. So we have Mike sitting in since he is the new champion of the Showcase Comics Store Championship. So we have some news this week. We had a couple things drop unofficially. We know about the Wave articles, the different timing that everything's coming out. We had two store championships in our area that we'll talk about. We have some information about what you need getting into 2.0, and then everyone's new favorite segment, Rob Rages Out. All right, so
it's sweeping the internet.
It's Forbes top 500 new things. All right, so Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So let's go over some things. You know, everyone's going to get this when they come on our show. What was your least favorite Star Wars movie?
I guess I'll have to go with the Phantom Menace. I don't dig Annie. I don't dig young Annie more so.
Okay. Why?
I guess it's the setup of the interaction between him and Padme. And then you're just thinking about that for the next two movies.
It is a little weird because he's like a kid. And then the next episode, he's like an adult.
And he's just like, wait a second. Of adult.
Do they ever mention in the movies how old, like what the age difference is between them?
I don't think they do.
I'm sure there's a book or something.
Yeah. We'll have to look that up.
I think they're 16 and 10 in the first movie.
He grows up fast.
I suppose that's not a huge difference, but it's still weird.
Okay, so one of my biggest gripes about the Phantom Menace is everyone likes the quote, "Oh, now that's pod racing," and try spinning. That's a cool trick. Every single one of you nerds probably talked like that when you were that age. Don't even deny it.
Well, it's true. I say it. I would honestly, actually, I would say I say those things more as an adult than I would as a kid.
Yeah,
I get that. I think it's just.
I mean, if fair game if everyone wants to go Jar Jar Binks hunting, but I think they give young Anakin a lot of slack.
I think if there's like that, just that disconnect, right? From like, you're not thinking of it as a character. You're thinking of it as George Lucas writing a kid. That's how I get it. Like that's like, normally you don't want to think that, right? You just want to think, oh, that's a kid talking like a normal kid. But I feel like a lot of those lines, it feels written by an older dude that perhaps doesn't understand children. I don't know.
Might be true, or he might have the most, you know.
Or maybe we're all out of touch.
Yeah, he might have the most experience of what everyone is in his genre of movie. But I can understand that that is your least favorite movie. So next question then. How did you get started into X-Wing? Like, what brought you to the table?
Cool. I was not a tabletop gamer at all, like, since 6 months ago, I guess. No, November. I went to PAX East with some coworkers just for one day to check out board games, and I bought Star Wars Rebellion there, and I was, like, flipping through that Fantasy Flight pamphlet that comes with everything, and then doing some Star Wars Rebellion Reddit, and I found X-Wing, and then I spent a lot of money over Thanksgiving. And then I found you guys, and,
at PAX
East, got way too into it.
Was that, you said PAX, was it PAX East or PAX?
I'm sorry, did I say PAX East?
Yeah.
Yeah, Unplugged.
Okay.
Nice. Our hometown convention.
Yes.
All right, so what is your favorite ship and pilot? I mean, you've only been in the game for, you know, 6-7 months, but what is your favorite ship and pilot now?
Cool. I've been playing Rey almost exclusively at tournaments. I wish I was better with other ships. I want to be, I like Poe a lot, and I want to do the cool Poe with, what is it? The way that gets him killed. Yeah, BB-8 and push the limit and everything, but
Intensity
Poe, that's the one. And I don't do it because I can't. But Ray's a nice sweet spot. I can kind of learn arcs, but also not get punished when I miss it.
It's very forgiving.
Yeah, totally.
And then who are you pairing Ray up with?
Lorik right now, which is, you know, the right way. the right Wookiee.
we'll get into that in a little bit.
There's a fundamental disagreement there that we'll get into later.
Okay.
He gives you options.
So what are you most excited for in 2.0?
I came in so late. I came in, you know, the game's been out for, 6 years, 7 years now. I bought a lot, and I have a ton of ships I didn't try, and I didn't really learn arcs properly. So I think the opportunity to start fresh with everybody, to do the wave kits where I'm playing with the stuff everyone's playing with and playing the way the game is meant to be played, it's going to be really good. And no longer using, you know, turrets as a crutch is going to be good for me as well.
Cool.
Yeah. I have a question, or a quick question for Mike. Are you going to be playing all three factions in 2.0 based off of what they said about, like, you don't have to buy Imperial just to get, like, X, you know, upgrade card? Or are you gonna stick with all three or pick one or two? Or
at this point, I bought so much, you know, card chasing for 1.0 that I have almost everything. So I bought all the conversion kits.
Okay, fair enough.
Once we find out what the actual waves look like and what, you know, the extra cards that we don't get in our conversion kit looks like, I'll make a decision if I want to just stick to one side.
Yeah, I feel like that might be, so that they're saying, oh, you don't have to, you know, buy all the conversion kits to get all the cards, but then I'm going to feel real bad when I only get the Scum and Imperial conversion kit, and then Rebels are clearly the superior faction, and you're just like, okay, well, now I got to go out and buy that Rebels conversion kit.
Yeah, I'm concerned about when X ship comes out and it comes with new cards or new pilots that we just, they said that will be a thing eventually, right?
They said that it will not be a thing. So but they said that they also kind of offhandedly said, like, that might change. You know, but they said their intention is that like, if there's, let's say, like, we'll just use, like, push the limit as an example. Like, push the limit is really good on A-Wings. I think this is the way it went. But it came in the Interceptor pack.
Other way. Right?
Other way. Okay, sorry. So they're going to try to make sure that kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore.
Right. No, like, no more auto thrusters.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're not going to get the auto thrusters pack.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool. So let's go into our first store championship. The winner, Mike Schiff, he's here with us today. Mike, why don't you, you know, if you want to give us like a semi.
Let's mention it's Showcase.
Yes, it was the Showcase.
Home store.
Your home store. It's great that you did that. But, you know, if you want to give us the rundown, what was your day like? We did go into a top four cut. So if you want to, any memorable moments, any like tough matches that you had, or if you want to just give us the whole battle report, that's cool. You're the championship. You're the captain. You get to do what you want.
I'll fly through it real quick. Yeah, this is my first ever tournament with the cut. I think it's tied for the most players I've ever played with in a tournament. I've done some small tournaments. Notable games. My round one was against double Shadowcasters. And it was also the same pairing in round one as another tournament I won with Ray Lorik a few months ago. And both games were just incredibly close and came down to like one health on each guy, last die roll. So always scary. Saw a lot more of Saj than I anticipated. Faced her three times over six games.
There was absolutely, yeah, I think there was 3 to 4 Saj's the entire day, which is shocking.
I didn't expect that either.
And my only loss was to a Reaper, Ryad, and New list, which was real cool.
I think that was the same list I lost to, because I think there was only one Reaper, right? Which I thought was going to have a much larger showing. I lost to that list as well.
Yeah, there was only one Reaper there that day.
Yeah, optimized Dryad with Stealth Device was just a pain for a little while.
So how did the cut go then?
Cut was two rematches. I went from losing to that Reaper list to facing him first round of the cut, and changed my strategy up and got the bounce back win.
Cool.
Pretty handily, I think. And then my final match was another rematch against an Asajj Nim list, who I had faced at just a pickup game the day before the tournament. Lost that really bad. Won that in round two, and then just squeaked by with Lorik chasing down Asajj, and just peppering each other with unmodded shots.
Right.
And
I
don't know how I got behind her, but that's what did it.
Well, I remember how that went down. You ended up getting the weapons failure on Asajj, and trying to squeeze through, you know, that shot from Asajj with only two dice to a Lorik is crazy. Almost impossible.
Two evades every turn, yeah.
Cool. So I played in both of these store championships, the first one being the showcase. I flew a Z-Swarm, Blair Bucky Z-Swarm. I flew it maybe three times before this, and one of the things that I learned from flying the Z-Swarm is, one, I don't think I had the stamina to fly a Z-Swarm. And two, I'm not that good at setting up kill boxes, as I've found out in my round three match against Rob. I completely split my arcs open and put three Z's on Wolfaro, whatever his name is, and the other four on
Waro, something like that.
You just made him angry.
Exactly. And then the other four on Ray, which was probably the worst idea in the world. So, one of the things that I like to do after every game is, I took this from a couple of the IA guys in our area, is after every game you sit down and you say, what did you learn from that match? And that is definitely what I learned, is that setting up kill boxes for a Z-Swarm is what wins you the game, and I did not do that in two of my matches, and it cost me dearly. Rob, you want to talk about your day?
Well, I guess I should mention that there were two store championships. There's Showcase, and then last weekend was All the King's Men, which you kind of mentioned, Andrew. I did not play in the All the King's Men tournament. However, I think everyone agrees that I won because I didn't play.
We'll go over all the King's Men in a bit,
Okay, I was there the entire time. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so for Showcase, I played Ray as well, but instead of Lorik, I played, as Andrew mentioned, Wolfaro. We had already mentioned with Mike that there was some fundamental disagreement on which is better. I personally think that Lorik puts Ray on a leash a little bit. Like, if you want to keep the ability to use that reinforced token at range one, you have to keep him really close. And I want Ray to be able to do whatever the hell she wants.
Especially if you're sleeping. You do want to do that.
Yeah, and so I just find it easier to keep them and let them kind of both do their own thing. And then my kind of balance for that, which sort of gives that same Lorik ability, is I just put Janors on Lorik, so that I can change my focus from Ray, because I don't need it, I have expertise, into an evade, and it kind of gives me the same effect a little bit.
You think Rob, that's your build?
So I was running, I mean, it's pretty standard Ray. It's expertise, Finn, Kanan, countermeasures, and then the looping title. And then Wolfaro is expertise, C-3PO, what did I just say? Janors, and that might be it. I think that was it.
That should be it.
Yeah. And the idea was, first I was thinking I was going to see way more of the Reapers. And my thought process was, all right, that thing's going to just strip stuff from me and potentially doing a lot of damage. So I need two ships that can just put out a lot of damage. So that was one of the other reasons I went with Wolf Oro, was just if you target him and you get him down a little bit, then he becomes pretty mean. And that was very helpful versus Andrew.
Yep. Popping one Z a turn.
yeah. Popping one Z a turn. So that, if I'm going to talk about any like bat rep, you know, and I don't want to get too much into it, but I think because me and Andrew were playing each other, I think for that, what my intention was, so you're saying like you need to do kill boxes. So I knew that I could not let you get kill boxes. My strategy from Asteroid Layout was to just not let you clump up. I needed you to kind of like, well, because of this rock, these ones need to turn now, and these ones can go straight like for another turn and then turn in. So my whole process was I gotta put the rocks in a way that breaks up the battlefield and breaks up him being able to stay together. And then I'm going to set up on the opposite corner that he does and kind of manipulate that kind of what I set up with the rocks so that he has to kind of go through it. He has to kind of split a little bit and then just jam it down his throat so that he may get one shot, or I might bump one of his ships or two of his ships. And so there's two ships he can't fire, or he has to fire a different target. And then I can, you know, both my ships can hopefully focus on one ship that isn't bumped, and take it out and then reset. Right. So with Wolfaro, because I have the 180, it's pretty easy to get a shot on. And Ray, I can sloop. And if that doesn't work, you know, I still have my 360 arc. So that was kind of the strategy, was just stay in the cluster and not let the shots happen.
And if you're from my perspective, the one thing I definitely learned was don't rage the Wookiee.
Yeah.
I turned that Wookiee on and then I paid for it dearly.
Yeah, range 1-5 dice is not, with expertise, is not pretty.
So I'll get into an expertise match when we hit up the All the King's Men tournament, because I have I did a little bit of math wing, but Mike, so we heard Rob's argument of why
Jonathan didn't play, so that's why we're skipping him.
Jonathan did not play, but Mike, give us why you think Lowric is the better choice of the two.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
Oh, he's better for me anyway. He gives me a lot of a safety net, so I you do have to leash him for a while. Which I usually start out most of my games doing, keep them fairly close. But if people start targeting Lowric, which I think is the wrong call, it gives you the option to like pincer out, let Ray do her sloop, take two turns to get back into formation. There were some rounds where I just shot up fast and kind of split them off early, which people don't expect because you anticipate the leash. Just having the net, if I'm like afraid and I know I need to keep them alive, the option to is pretty good.
Mike, what was your exact build?
Ray, same as Rob's.
Countermeasures?
Oh. No, engine.
Engine, yeah.
So yeah. Which again doesn't really make sense with Lowric, but when it needs to happen, you know. Get out of the arc.
Yeah,
let Lowric get shot more.
The large base boost is huge.
Yeah, it's just keeping Rey alive as long as I can, and then letting her dance around as much as she wants. And then Lowric with expertise, 3PO. I put the multispectral camo on him, which it actually worked twice. I think it saved me from a harpoon shot from Nim, and one other save, and. What's the other?
3PO?
Yeah, it's 3PO.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should start a poll then, if you think Wolfaro or Lowric is the right way.
I would be very interested to see what people think.
How many Showcase Sword Championships has Wolfaro won?
I don't know, but I can tell you how many Sword Championships I have one.
Oh.
And you. Which is both one. Okay. So.
Well, maybe, I don't know if that counts. Maybe we just have to throw this down on the table and have a unofficial.
I personally believe that my build could beat Mike's build. And we talked about it off air. I will make a special trip out on Tuesday just for that game. Because I'm very interested to see how that would play out.
Yeah, I would.
But I'm confident. For whatever reason, I'm very confident. Now.
I won. I'm done.
Oh. He's done until 2.0. All right. So the next store championship we had was All the King's Men this past weekend. I played in it. Rob was there rooting everyone on. There was only, I think, 12 people there, but every single person there, I would say, is a very good player. Like, there was not every single participant there has been playing the game for a while, and it was a tough tournament. There, I don't think I had one easy game the entire day. John Bailey was the winner. He flew two the double Wookiee Liberators with Lorik, the two Liberators had Expertise, and Lorik had Predator, I believe it was, and then C-3PO on Lorik, your standard three-ship Wookiee build. He won it. There was no top cut, so he did go 3-1 and won with MOV.
I just want to give a shout-out to Zach Caddy, or Katie, sorry, because he was, up until that game, he was 3-0.
Yeah.
Playing Han and Luke Skywalker, of all things, and was doing it was kicking ass. So I think I just want to give him a bit of a shout out because he was kicking ass all day.
Right. So I think the real shining star of this Wave 14 is definitely those X-Wings. Not just the X-Wing fix in general. I think Nick Bodner's list, he ran Wes, Wedge, and Miranda.
I watched that entire game.
Yeah, it was a very good list.
Just, oh, man.
Those refits are amazing.
Well, just the game in general. So yeah, like the refits, quite important, I think, for the future of the X-Wing, even in 2.0.
The servo motors, I think. Yeah, we should be talking about not the refit, because the refit just gives you points.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
the servo motor S foils is the real shining star. Both of them, and I guess in 1.0. But yeah, definitely.
But your match in general, holy cow.
So
every turn it was like, no, Andrew's going to win. Nope, nope, nope. No, I think Nick's going to win. Every turn it bounced. It was great.
All right. So here's I'm going to rage out for a little bit. Throughout the entire 2 weeks that we've had these store championships, I think I've heard 4 people complain about their dice. I don't think it's not your dice. Let's get that right off the bat. I understand it's a game of variance. You do have some crappy dice. So, however, your decision-making in the actual match, your list building, all really revolves around your dice. And like I said, I don't think that your dice is the problem. And why I really kind of came to this conclusion was that the real turning point of me and Nick's game was he had a range one shot on Major Vermeil, and he rolls tokenless, crit, hit, focus with an expertise wedge. So I'm like, oh man, that's really bad luck for me. That dice roll was really good. Now, of course, I crapped out on my dice I didn't get the first agility roll, but I did get the lightweight frame roll and blanked out. So I was like, man, first thing I start doing is blaming my dice. So, you always hear in these other podcasts saying, oh, it's not your dice, it's not your dice. And I was like, well, how the heck was I supposed to, avoid that? Like, that was just a great roll. So I started doing the math on it. The chances of a range one shot of getting that perfect roll is 33%, just under, I believe. 33% is really high. I would take that odds, playing roulette table. Why not, rolling the dice against a one agility ship? I think what I'm really trying to say is the decision that I made to put myself in range one and let myself get PS killed was not my dice's fault, or my die's fault, I should say. Dice the plural of it. That was not my dice fault. That was my decision making in this game, and honestly, it threw me the game because Wedge only had two hull left at that point, and Vermeil could have taken them off the table easily. I think what people need to start doing is looking at these decisions that you're making. Now, if I were to either bump him or try to shoot past him and avoid that range one shot, even if it was a range two shot, that extra dice, him getting four dice onto Vermeil was, it would have been four hits, would have been zero because he could only roll three dice. So if you guys like get what I'm saying, it's not, yeah, it's not your dice.
I think what you mentioned was, and because I had watched it, you know, when Wedge was down to two HP, it was Wedge, right? It
wasn't, yes. Which, okay. Yeah, Wedge was down.
Nick made, and this again, Nick has been playing for almost as long as I have. He didn't just like, oh well, I'll just like, you know, I'll just get one more shot at with him and he'll explode. No, he cut him off and he ran away with him and then came back around with it, which then you know, it's still an alive ship. It'll come back around and then. Aaron, Andrew, your kind of priority changes because it's like, oh well, he's kind of running, so I guess I need to focus on the next thing or chase that, which is probably the wrong idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a pretty good kind of example of that is like he didn't just let it die, he saw the value of it, ran it away, you know, did something odd that you didn't think he was going to do. I didn't think he was going to do, and it got him out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I mean, like me being in the position, I was like, okay, I have a major Vermeil taking, you know, he had four hull left because he already had a direct hit onto his hull. I was just like, I can probably survive this. Now in my head, I wasn't thinking, what are the odds of him getting, you know, four hits and running away, killing Vermeil. I was just thinking, okay, I set up this range one shot for myself, not thinking to protect my own ships, which again, like I said, is my fault. I sat back after this, I did a lot of analyzing, did the math on everything, and realized it wasn't my dice. It was actually, you know, the play that I made.
Andrew, what was your list?
So I ran Major Vermeil with VI, so putting him up to 8, Lightweight Frame, Director Krennic, and ISB Slicers, and Captain Yor with Palp on him, and the Big Red Button, Targeting Scrambler, and then the Inquisitor with PTL Auto Thrusters, and the title. I think I'm going to run this list through Nova. It's a very good list, and honestly,
yeah, I see the potential in it.
But before this weekend, it was the first time that I put Palp aces of any sort on the table. So we're gonna definitely be running this list a lot. So, but with that being said, the All the Kings Men tournament was a great time. Brian put on a great event.
Yeah, and you were the one out of the four of us here. You were the only one that played.
Correct.
Now I kind of was mentioning. I mentioned that offhand, people were joking like, "Well, Rob, you're the real winner because you're the one not playing in this shit." Now, I on multiple occasions, whether it was kind of like verbally said or under the breath, I heard multiple people, not the same person, multiple people say, I fucking hate this game. and every time I heard it, and most of the people there I knew and I knew pretty well, and I think most of us were, you know, joking around and everything, but I think that just shows where we are with 1.0 with some of the combo and some of the stuff that is just like, oh my God. Yeah, I think that was just people like, I can't wait for 2.0. Like that was what they were really saying was, come on, please.
Yep.
And
it's going to be a game changer. Definitely. I'm worried a little bit that when 2.0 does come out that we're going to come across some of the same things. I don't think it's going to be as oppressive as some of the stuff we do see now, but we'll just have to wait and to see until December or September. Hopefully not. Hopefully next weekend when you're out in Gen Con, you can relay us back some information on if the app will be out on the different stuff that they have.
Yeah, I want to. I've already planned out like attack. So first thing, is we're gonna get there. What do they call it? The area where you go and buy stuff. The big old
marketplace.
Market. Whatever. Vendor hall. Thank you. That is open till 10. So I'm gonna go and see. I know there's like FFG has a giant space to play games and stuff. I'm gonna see if I can get over there. And just see if anybody's there to just ask them a few questions about 2.0. I'm interested. The app thing is one of them.
I think the big thing everybody wants is the app now. We've seen the entire game that we're just like, give us the app.
Yeah. So I really want to sit in on the flight report, which I hope I can do. I don't plan on I'm not a guy that's going to like tweet everything that they say. I'm there. I spent my money and I want to enjoy it myself.
Yep.
But I will take notes, and if there's something exciting, I might, say it to you guys and then you can relay it if you want. I think another question I want to ask them is as far as the app goes, especially since, I guess, we'll save it, but like talking about the kits that are coming, something I mentioned in our very first episode, I guess episode zero, was I really hope that they do something with the app, much like Imperial Assault and Descent. They do with Descent where they have almost like a Turi cluster.
Like an AI?
They have an official... So like an AI, but like you have purchasable campaigns that like if you play the campaign, you open and it changes the stats of a ship, or like gives it more mod slots, and like you level it up and you can keep track of that in the app. Like I leveled up to level 2, but it gives you like all the scenarios there and everything. I want to ask them things like that and see if they have any intention to do those type of things. And especially since you see some of the prize stuff for the deluxe wave kits, there's one very mysterious bullet point in there that we'll get to that makes me think that maybe it has something to do with the app.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, before we move on fully onto 2.0, I do want to recap on the meta and how it is forming in these final last 2 months of X-Wing 1.0. What I think we're going to see in these last couple store championships coming up and Nova is X-Wings are going to be everywhere. Reapers are going to be everywhere. Scum's going to be non-existent. And I would absolutely plan on playing one of those two factions with something along those lines. You've been seeing these crack swarms coming through, the 4Zs with all crack shot on them and a support ship of somehow. I've been seeing
Cavern Angels, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Cavern Angels with some kind of Z95 support ship or a Sheathipede shuttle. The Reaper is a great ship on its own. I think the X-Wing kind of counters the Reaper a little bit with the crack shot, so right now I definitely think the crack shot is the X-Wings are the way to go, but we still have it's a very shaky moment at the moment.
Unstable. Yeah, I think if you do see Scum, you're going to see an Asajj. If what we're seeing is any indication, like if there's going to be a Scum on the table, Asajj is probably going to be in that list.
Maybe a Asajj, or if you're familiar with the Joustero list, where Nim chucks a bomb, Deadeye Joustero kind of shoots a harpoon, and then PS-10 Nim shoots another harpoon, and then Tarani or Dalen are shooting another harpoon. That's three harpoons, probably at like PS-11, 10, 9, around that area. So it's almost like a game of rock, paper, scissors. Like, I would say that would take out the Cavern Angels list. Cavern Angels list would take out the Reaper list. And the Reaper list would probably jam off those tokens so they can't shoot the harpoons off or anything like that. So, but it's X-Wing. There's so many different options that we're probably not even thinking about coming up. So let's move on then. All right, Rob, you ready for this?
I am.
All right. You wanted to talk about 1.0 hardware transition. What do we need? Templates, tokens, damage decks. What are your questions? Let's ask them first.
Yeah, so some of this might be obvious, right? So, like, damage deck. Well, first off, it's like, okay, so we knew the original, like, when the new core set came out, not 2.0, and it was, like, the Force Awakens core set. They're like, hey, guys, there's a new damage deck. We're going to use that one and replace the old one. You can't use the old one after X amount of months. And people were upset about that. And so they reversed that decision. My guess is 2.0 is like, that's it. 2.0, everything 1.0 is gone, right? So, but I still think the question needs to be answered, or at least asked, is anything 1.0 going to be valid? So can I use a damage deck, even though it might be bad? I'm guessing there's wording in there, and there's probably things in there that would not make sense in 2.0, so maybe that's a bad example.
Okay, so one of the things that why we need to bring this up is our group championship that we have every year in the Philadelphia area is going to be September 29th, so it's approximately 2 weeks after 2.0 drops. So it is going to be a 2.0 tournament, and you should be ready to come prepared for it. So if you only have 1.0 stuff, this is what we're going to tell you that you're going to need. So what you should do as far as damage deck wise, you need a new damage deck. There is no going to be transition period. And part of that is because a lot of the wording is different in 2.0. There's different cards in there now. There are different crits in there now, which I know in between the Force Awakens damage deck and the original damage deck, it was different cards in there too, but they gave you the option. I think there's, like I said, new wording in these cards that, because it is now an official second edition, that they are going to require you to have this new damage deck.
And can't you, maybe this was just a limited time, couldn't you just buy the 2.0 damage deck as like a separate thing?
So you can't just buy the damage deck, but what you can do, I believe, is a lot of the stores are doing pre-orders. And when you pre-order a core set, you're supposed to get a promotional damage deck.
Ah, okay.
So if you aren't completely like, you know, want to buy a 2.0 core, you can maybe find a buddy that, you know, will sell you his damage deck if he gets a promotional damage deck and stuff like that. So now let's say you decide to do that. Some of the things that you are going to need is new templates. The new templates have a line down the middle of all of them.
Right. So this was another one of the things, right? Because they have that line.
Yes.
They are different. However, are they really different enough that FFG is like, because again, they gave out old templates. There are official FFG acrylic templates. Like, you know, we've got a couple, you know, at least one of our guys has got some worlds, like delicious, like white frosted gold, templates. Are those no longer valid? Are those junk?
So I think the most recent ones are valid. They did upgrade them. All your range rulers, your acrylic range rulers, are all the same.
Sure.
So, but the Jonathan.
I'd say, like, I think they said you can use your old templates, but you would need for barrel rolling or talon rolling, you'll need a new template for that.
Right.
So even if you only have like the one straight for a lot of lists, or like the three hard.
At that point, then you're like,
we're doing that.
Yeah. but things like those are like questions. I think it's kind of up in the air, right? It doesn't seem like it's a solid answer. It's like, oh, well, you just need this one. Well, at that point, aren't you really just going to be buying all of them? Who's selling just the one template, or like the one that just has like, you know, for the sloops or anything? And at that point, like if you're doing hards or banks that then can turn into a sloop, or a talon roll, like, then you're pretty much buying everything anyways.
Yeah.
Same with like tokens, right? A lot of some of the shapes of the tokens have changed, right? They're supposed to reflect like the round ones you remove at the end of the round, square ones stay.
Right. And they're also, yeah, different colors. So green tokens are removed at the end of the round. Blue tokens, I believe, stay, but the blue tokens are beneficial, right?
I thought it was shape based.
Well, they are shape based.
And
okay.
Yeah.
All the green tokens are circles, and all the orange tokens are circles, and all the red tokens and blue tokens are squares.
Correct. Right.
So like, are they going to be? Is that something that like, no, you can't use those anymore, or is it that's okay because you still know what it is? You know, target locks, same thing. Like, there's new target locks. So are old ones invalid? Like, how strict is this going to be? That's the kind of stuff I want to know.
I thought they said you could use your old tokens. So I don't think the tokens will be a problem, but you do need the new templates for, because you can't barrel roll without a new template.
Yeah,
and you'll need the new tokens, like force tokens.
Oh, you need
right. Well, yeah, I mean, there's some new ones, obviously, but like, again, this just goes back to the idea of like, I have all this old promotional stuff, and like, how much of it is valid, and how much of it is just I put in a shoebox and put in the basement, you know.
You know, Rob, I hear your regional dice aren't good anymore.
So exactly. How far is it going to go? Like,
yeah, they're not good anymore. You should.
That would break my heart. I love those things.
Just give them away.
My favorite. Yeah, just give them away.
So, okay, so it is possible to get into 2.0 with just buying a conversion kit, and possibly if you were able to get your hands on one of these promotional damage decks, or if you're willing, or if someone you know is willing to either have these, a pre-order damage deck, or their damage deck from the actual core, it is possible to do. There's a lot of Etsy vendors. One of the named ones, Carl Paul Creatives, they make great templates, and they are all 2.0 compatible. Jonathan, you ordered some templates as well?
Yeah, so I got a set of templates from By the Same Token. They're actually in the UK, and they are great. I really love those templates. But I have Carlpaw tokens, and they actually just came in the mail the other day.
Awesome. And Mike, don't you use Highbridge?
I have a Highbridge for 1.0, and I bought a set of Carlpaw 2.0 templates.
Okay, so it is very possible. Like, all your tokens are probably going to be able to come over to second edition. I don't think anyone's going to call you out to be like, that focus token's only 1.0 only. You can't use that.
Well, but I think, Andrew, you bring up, like, there are people out there. Like, if you don't make a ruling whether or not, like, if you officially, it's okay, people might, you know, lawyer it and be like, no. Like, this token is, I don't think it should be valid.
I think for third party, they've always just allowed it. But I think, like, on stream, like at FFG, on stream, they give you. Didn't they?
Yeah, FFG, you have to use FFG stuff, which, like, I think that's more just branding, really.
But otherwise, like, you can use whatever tokens you want.
I guess you're right.
First time the rules are really calling out some specifics about the tokens, though, like, that group them into subgroups in a rules capacity, which might play an impact. Like, the color, like, you know, X color tokens have a meaning now.
Yeah, you are right, because they do name the tokens green tokens. But I guess they're on the back of the rules that came out. They do list which are which. So I guess we really have to wait to see the tournament regulations, because like I said, in the 1.0, they do say that you can use third-party stuff with like the limited to like bombs and asteroids, the stuff that you actually need for measuring. I think everything else, for the most part, is good.
To Mike's point, there could be a card down the road that says, like, you know, target defender loses one green token.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, totally.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you're running with, and I guess this doesn't apply to old tokens, it might. I don't think it does. If you're running acrylic, you know, I guess I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to argue like two different things, but
no. Well, I get what you're saying. So a lot of like the older stuff doesn't work with reinforced tokens.
Yeah, Wes and reinforced.
Exactly.
Future proofing.
So it's future proofing. So like, but now it'll say green token, and that would include focus of aids. Yeah, focus of aids, reinforced tokens, along those lines. Where prior to that, it just said focus of aid, which you couldn't really say green tokens, but.
I mean, right now, like Jam 2.0 Jam and Old Tarok both refer to green tokens.
Okay.
Do the new shield tokens, they flip now, right? You don't remove them, you flip them. Is that right? Yeah,
they're double-sided.
Correct.
Yes. I don't know. And again, that's like one of those things that I've already like that. I feel like I'm going to lose those a lot like easier if I'm just flipping them around. Like some people get super messy with their play area. I usually try to keep mine kind of nice and neat, but if something isn't needed anymore, I usually remove it. So maybe that signals that they're going to be doing something with, like,
I think the
much purpose, more with shield regeneration?
Well, not shield regeneration, but now that everything is half points, stuff like shield upgrade, and it's going to matter a lot. So, I mean, if you have a shield upgrade and you magically lose that card or, you know, that shield token, there's no way of tracking it, I guess.
True.
So it could have something like that. Well, you had X amount of shields that are now offline, and you have half points on this ship. So I think that's where they really wanted to keep tracking by flipping things upside down instead. Instead, like, you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Especially with, like, force tokens, it's a good way to track how many you can actually have on them. So anything else? Any other questions about what you're going to need to carry over for 2.0?
I mean, those are the big things. I hope they kind of clarify a little bit. You know, a lot of the questions I have here is based off of just because of what happened with the Force Awakens, like, new core set. And if anyone's area is like ours, there are a few people that are just like, this is absolutely outrageous that I have to buy, you know, this new core set in order to play with a new damage deck. And, you know, that was small fries compared to what we're about to deal with, right? So there probably are going to be people out there that'd be like, why do I got to buy this new 2.0 stuff? Why can't I just use my old ships with the old templates and stuff and be in a disadvantage? Yeah. I can see it happening.
No, absolutely. But I think this is FFG's way. I mean, I think they've tried to make everything as price compatible as they could to get everyone up to speed on how the game should be played in second edition. So I think restarting this game is what was needed, and this is their way of doing it at the best possible. I'm a little disappointed you can't just buy a conversion kit, that you actually are going to have to buy the core set again. But at the same time, it is probably what is needed for the game.
Well, like, have they, I guess I just thought is, what about rocks, asteroids and stuff? Are those going to be able to use 1.0, be able to use them?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, they said they were fine, right?
Okay. Yeah, they're all fine. All bomb tokens. I don't even think some of the conversion kits have bomb tokens in them, because all your bomb tokens carry over.
Yeah, and there's stuff in the core set that is not in the conversion kits, like Luke Skywalker pilot and whatever those TIE fighter pilots are.
Yeah, that is true.
They're not in the conversion kits.
So okay, so we'll just say buy a conversion kit, or not conversion kit, a core set, no matter what.
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of have to get the damage deck at the very least. If you want to buy templates somewhere else, like for $20 or so. It's like half of what you spend on a core set. At that point, just buy the damn core set. Get a couple ships.
Exactly. So with that being said, like we said earlier, the group championship at Top Deck Games will be 2.0 second edition, full-fledged. We know it's a tight turnaround, but we think at the same time it's going to be great for everyone not knowing what the game is and jumping into this huge tournament and going from there.
Yeah, so if you're local and you're listening to this, you're in the Philadelphia area, it's a 2.0 tournament.
Yes.
So come with 2.0.
We'll have Lou on at a later date to talk about all the details, but
Right, and it's on the Facebook page and everything.
But we're giving you plenty of time right now to pre-order. A lot of these stores are doing, I know All the Kingsmen, I think, is doing 20% off conversion kits.
So Showcase.
Showcase is doing it. I know Red Cap said they were going to be doing it. I'd imagine Top Deck will be doing it as well at some point. So we're giving you plenty of notice now. Save up your pennies. Sell some Altar cards while you still can.
Don't expect to, because it's happening at Top Deck. Don't expect Top Deck to have... Like, I'll just go the day of
and
get what I need. Like, hopefully they'll have it, but they may not. So don't expect that either. Don't come thinking you'll just get it there.
Absolutely. So, here, like we said, here's your notice. You have plenty of time. Pre-order these from wherever you order your game supplies at. Next topic, we have Wave Kits Spoiled. We don't know if this is an official FFG leak, but from what we understand is that these are official FFG documents. We have a release schedule for the different waves that are, at least the first three waves that are coming out. So we know wave one is coming out September 13th, and the, what is it called? The Deluxe Wave Kit. We have information for three of them, and then we have, what is this? The season, or 2018 Season 4 Attack Run Kit. So we're really not sure what that still is. But what we do know is the dates of these wave kits. The first one, October 2018, so approximately about a couple weeks after second edition drops. That's the first one. The second one is December of 2018. And the third one is February of 2019. So if they follow suit with the first wave, then we're expecting wave two probably mid to late, what is it, November? Yeah, November. And then wave three in probably, I would imagine, late January, early February.
So these are not cheap. kits. These are, I guess, retail $79 for the deluxe kits. Do you mind if I just go through the list of stuff in them? And then we can kind of explain what we, from the information that we have, what it is they're trying to do. But the contents are that you get 50 patronage cards, 75 arcade tokens, which is the thing that I am interested about with the app. We'll get back to that. 5 acrylic tokens, 4 double-sided plastic cards, which I think are reminiscent of the Angel Squadron or whatever X-Wing card for the store championship right now, which is cool because I think those are fantastic. 1 set of acrylic range rulers, 16 challenge cards, 51 enhanced quick build cards, and then it says 17 each of 3 different cards. So looks like everybody would get 3 different of these enhanced quick build cards. 75 extended art cards, 1 art print, and then a poster, info cards, and header cards. And I think they're pretty much the same for the wave 2 and 3 as well.
Yeah, so I would imagine that the one set of acrylic range rulers is going to be like the big prize. Maybe the art print might replace what the plaques used to be.
5 tokens does not seem like a lot. 5 acrylic tokens?
I'm curious if it's going to be sets or if it's just 5 acrylic tokens.
Right.
But that might be interesting. One of the big things about that is in each of these, it comes with 3 different events. It's a quick build event, a themed event, and then a wave championship. So there's 3 different types of ways to play right now, which, you know, the quick build is you use these cards to build a list based off the threat level. So, you know, that goes up to 8. Then we have the theme tournaments, which we don't have really any information on. We've been speculating that it's going to coincide with, like, different events that happen with these. So I would imagine wave 1 is probably going to be something like the Trench Run.
Yeah, that's what I expect, something like that as well.
Exactly. So, and then maybe Wave 2 will have something to do with something that happened in The Last Jedi along those lines.
Darkiller Base.
Yeah. And then we have the, what is the final one? The Wave Championship, which I would imagine has to, your list has to somehow involve some ships from, like maybe a certain amount of points of ships involving from that wave.
Kind of sounds like they all do.
Yeah, I would imagine, like I said, each wave will probably, like, that big championship will be like, okay, you have to include X amount of points of this wave and everything that came in this wave in your list. And I'm sure the app will track.
I mean...
Awesome. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
Well, it's I mean, for official FFG events, I mean, it's certainly possible that only ships re-released for second edition will be tournament legal.
Yes.
That's pretty much what I was going to say, yeah. And if there is anything new, I like we mentioned off air, you know, Attack on Imdar Alpha, things like that, I don't think I would expect them to be like, oh, here's these brand new ships that just came out. In order to participate in our tournament, you must buy our new ship in order to play in it. I don't know. I think that would turn people off, especially people that can't afford all this stuff all the time. I would see it much more like you get down to the final two or whatever, and it's like, here's the prizes. Like, here, you get this ship because you're in first. You get this ship because you're in second. And you have to incorporate it in a build. I think for the foreseeable future, I don't know, like wave one kit, wave two kit, like it'll probably be ships that we all have, and maybe they'll try to play off that. But I don't ever see them doing like, oh, here's the three new ships or five new ships or whatever it is that came out. You have to purchase at least one and put it in your list or you can't play. I don't see them doing that.
That's true. That might be true. But I think at the same time, I think a lot of people will. I mean, so if the first one comes out in October, I think they're kind of giving people time to buy this too. So it's not like you're going to buy it and then put it on the table right away. I think that the wave championship might be like maybe right before the next wave drops. So it might give you a lot of time for people to actually purchase at least one ship. At least that's my thought, because I feel like a lot of us are going to be buying everything anyway. But I could understand where you're coming from, that you don't want to buy anything from that wave. But that might just be... All right, so let's talk about like Magic the Gathering. Now, each wave release, they have a store championship. And I feel like that's what they're doing on this thing. So maybe they're doing something like a standard with Magic where it's the last three sets of cards that have been released are going to be valid for their standard tournaments. There could be something like that. So you might have to include X amount of ships from the last three waves, giving everyone plenty of time to buy ships. So it's not like you have to buy that first thing. But at the same time, if anyone ever played Magic before, you know that some of those new cards you're going to want to have on the table anyway, if you're in a competitive aspect of this. Make sense?
Yeah, so actually, the game designer in me, like, you talking about Magic, I had an interesting idea, and I'm wondering if FFG, I'm sure they have. I mean, these guys are good designers, but having these quick build cards and these enhanced quick build cards is what we're seeing in these kits could potentially lead to draft style tournaments where you have these quick build cards, and maybe it comes with a bunch of random quick build cards that have maybe a couple different ships on there depending on the faction you're flying, and you have to pick one or pick a couple that like equal up to so many pips on the card or whatever, a maximum amount of pips, and that's what you fly.
That honestly makes perfect sense. I believe they talked about draft style with the app before, and that would make perfect sense. Wow.
Did I blow your mind?
I'm like lost for words right now.
The fact that I thought of it probably means I'm not.
Right. So, but I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing about it, that the draft aspect of X-Wing is going to revolve around these cards, which honestly would be a ton of fun.
And again, off air, as we were talking, getting ready for this episode, we had all kind of all mentioned that, like, without them really talking about it much, you can just see anywhere if you're following anything with 2.0. And me, as somebody that's trying not to follow it, because I, like I've mentioned many times, I want to have that Christmas Day type feel of when I open this and are surprised at some of the things that are in there. There are, I can already see how much they're pushing these cards.
Yeah.
So they're really tying this in here, and a part of me also is wondering if they're trying to do this as like a way to get away from like those broken combos. So what if part of me is wondering, like, maybe they know that there are some combos they just cannot fix.
Yeah.
And instead of doing perhaps like a, in this wave, these cards are illegal, but these ones are okay, which they could totally do with an app. So it's super easy. You could have a tournament style, which is just like, these are the only ships that are legal are the ones on this, on these quick build cards, and the upgrades that are on it. Those are the ones you have to take.
Right, and I mean, going back to like the draft aspect, you could do something like where once some one person has that card, nobody else can use it.
I mean, that gets a little harder when you have like 16 plus people. Like in Magic, like you're going to get a bunch of uncommons, and maybe they do it that way, where like everyone gets a foil pack of enhanced quick build cards, and there's a rare one in there, and then all the rest are like commons. I don't know. Like,
yeah, well, that's I mean, it could be like a 5 threat level card, and that could be like the rare of the X-Wing tournament.
Rob, did you see the enhanced quick build cards for Gen Con?
No. Hold on, Jonathan, you muted yourself.
For participation, there's the Gold Squadron Veteran, the Black Squadron Ace, the Gold Squadron Veteran with Expert Handling, R3 Astromech Proton Bomb, Black Squadron Ace with Outmaneuver Shield Upgrade Afterburners.
So these are enhanced quick build. These are quick build cards that they're giving out?
So it's just it's like a full bleed art with like the quick build right on the art for it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'm not participating in the in any of the tournaments there. Mostly just because it's my first Gen Con, and I want to kind of enjoy it at a leisurely pace.
Jonathan, are the builds the same as the ones we've seen before, or are they like actually different builds here?
Jonathan, you're muted again, buddy.
Too many windows, sorry. No, I don't think these we've seen these quick builds before.
Interesting.
So it's, this FFG article from July 11th, the Space Battles Begin.
So if tournaments are coming out with quick builds that aren't seen anywhere, I wonder if you can take that to a different tournament and play with a list that no one else is going to have.
Yeah, that worries me.
These just turned into Pokemon cards. Like,
well, that worries me because then it's like, right, if it's a thing where it's like, oh, well, I have this quick build card and it's superior to this quick build card and you don't have it and you can never get it again, that is a problem.
Yeah, so we're going into the next thing, we have the 2018 Season 4 Attack Run Kit. We have literally no idea what these things could be. So it just says that, you know, it supports local players for a total of 3 months, and everything's going to be done through the Squad Builder app, and you have to do certain challenges. So that might be their way of... So maybe going to Gen Con, you get these things early, but maybe you will get these challenge cards later down the road.
It's possible.
But yeah, I'm curious if it's going to add a collecting aspect to this game, where, you know, these quick build cards are going to be a whole new format of the game that they're just kind of hiding from us. That might be a lot of fun.
I have a feeling that that's exactly what it is.
It could be. And that might be their way of saving the game and from these oppressive lists that might happen. If they just kind of like, okay, well, you have to bring these lists, and we know which ones are here, and we can balance out which ones are good and not, because you can't use certain ones that we list in these apps.
Yeah, right. Like I mentioned, like if you know that there's a 2-card combo that's broken, you never put it on a quick build card together,
yeah.
And problem solved. I kind of hope that they don't do that. I feel like that's a really easy, like a really cheap way of game designing. Instead of fixing your problem, you're just kind of like, I don't know what the right word is. You're just like ignoring it in a way, which defeats the purpose of the app, where like, oh, this card combo is broken. Just take one of the cards and change the, well, you can't change the text, but like at least the price points or whatever, you know, you can change that to try to help unbreak it, but I don't know.
I have this hypothesis that all these wave kits are going to involve around these quick build cards and ships that involve the wave, but I have a feeling that they are not going to change anything with competitive play, like as far as regionals go or the system opens go or championships of any sort. I have a feeling that everything's going to be legal in these conversion kits, and we're still going to see that level of play throughout it. One of the other things I want to bring up, we have no idea, are the 75 arcade tokens. I'm curious if this is going to involve the app somehow, and the judge or the marshal of these events, the host of these events, can distribute these arcade tokens via the app, and they might unlock things. Oh man, microtransactions. I just had bad flashbacks.
I'm out.
So if you don't mind, I have a couple theories.
Okay.
All right, so way back in the day, when I first started playing, one thing that I really wanted, and this was, I think, like when Vassal was in its infancy as far as with X-Wing, was I was like, man, I just want, because this was like, you know, I was starting out where I was living and everything, like there just wasn't a lot, and I was also naive to how much what was in the area and everything, but I was like, I just want to play online. I want an official way to play online. And I don't know if this is what that's going to be. That would be a long shot. But one thing that I had mentioned was like, if you go to a physical tournament, like one way to get you to stop playing the app, like if you just wanted to play the app and like to get them to actually physically buy stuff is to go to the tournament, like win a Tyco card. I remember that was like when, that was the card that was out, was the Tyco card when I was thinking of this. And like it had, there was some kind of valid code. Then go back on the app, type in the code, and you got that card in the app.
Yeah.
Right? Like somehow, like, and the tokens like transferred over. So you had this like custom bling in your video game version of it. Now, I don't think they're going to be doing a video game version of it, but perhaps those arcade tokens has something to do with the app, has something to do with like maybe they're turn-ins for something. Maybe you save them up over tournaments and hand them back into FFG for some kind of prize like they do at Worlds.
I mean, it might be their way of ranking too. So, I mean, you might be able to win arcade tokens, and then how many arcade tokens you have depends on a rank or something along those lines. Going back to what you said though about like a app or a actual video game version of this, with the release of the Star Wars Imperial Assault app, I mean, I would love to see an actual digital version of X-Wing come out.
And I think the problem is going to be EA, because and whether or not that falls into their territory or not.
Right. So I know Asmodee and FFG have been putting out, so they are doing the Lord of the Rings card game, I believe. The LCG. I think they're putting that out on Steam or something along those lines. And I don't know how involved they are with, like, what restrictions they are allowed to do with putting out apps with the Star Wars brand on it. But if they were ever to come out, I think I would call off my engagement, just play X-Wing all day. Sorry, honey. But yeah, I would love to see that down the road. I mean, I, as much as I like playing on Vassal and Tabletop Simulator, I think is way better. Sorry, everyone. I would love to see an actual FFG or program that comes out for this.
Yes, and if FFG, if you want any ideas for that app, let me know. Because I've been thinking about it for quite a while, and I have some interesting ideas. I think they are.
You can contact Rob at robkaiser@backtodials.com.
Yep, that's where I'll be. It's waiting.
Okay, so let's move on. We had a TIE Advance preview, and we actually had the Belle of Wausau TIE Interceptor unpackaging today.
Just the TIE FL.
Yeah.
You said Interceptor.
I'm sorry, yeah, TIE Ellen came out.
Ellen, was it FL? Ellen, what is it?
FL, when the TIE Fighter came out.
Just the normal TIE Fighter.
But there was an official TIE Advance preview. Nothing new that we've already seen. The only thing that was really eye-catching was on, again, Vader's quick build card, he had two modifications on there. So that might, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know if TIE Advance cards might have two, or their actual mods might have two on them, or if that might just be Vader in that quick build mode, that that one actual card is special. Like,
Yeah, I never thought of that, that they could, with the quick builds, they could do...
Yeah, so like maybe just normal...
Custom weird things.
Yeah, normal list building, they only have one, but in these quick builds, they might have something like that. Anything else anyone caught on those things? Nothing. I don't want to go...
really.
Yeah, I don't want to go over everything, because like I said, you've probably read it all, and if you're listening to us, you've probably listened to some of the other podcasts. So, Rob, what are we raging out about this week?
Yeah, so in this week's bi-weekly, Rob rages out. It's about TAT again. We're talking about the store championship prize kits because we have all had a chance to see it. Well, I guess Jonathan hasn't. I'm not happy with them. Much like the last time I talked about the course on open stuff, this is a completely different kettle of fish. The quality in general, I think, is piss poor, and I I don't mind saying that. The juke cards, I think the print quality is very low res. I mean, you can put that card compared to anything that has come out recently, just and compare the print quality and know that it's bad. You can compare it to any kit card that has come out recently and compare them and know that it is bad. I don't think Krennic is any better. I think he is also very like, just, it's just a low DPI like print. It's just fuzzy, and I expected it to be crisp, especially for the Star Championship. It makes it feel rushed. On top of that, the and if this was different for both Showcase and all the King's Men, Showcase had, I believe, four or five of its nine. There's one for the TO range rulers were a completely different color of orange. Four of them were more of a yellow, and they were clear, whereas the rest of them were a deeper orange and were frosted. And then at the All the King's Men tournament, there were three that were the yellow that were clear, and the rest were an orange frosted. So there was definitely some kind of issue there as well, which makes me then kind of believe that in general it was very rushed. And I kind of feel like because it was rushed, they had to last minute find some vendor to print these out, put it together, and ship them out. And it almost felt like somebody at FFG asked somebody else, like, are we doing store championships this year? And that person said, nah. And then a week before they started happening, somebody that had more information was like, where are those store championship kits? And everybody rushed and was like, ooh, shit. But there's no plaque this year, which I've heard kind of, like, that's because the newer kits that are coming later aren't going to do the plaque anymore. I don't know. Like, I obviously that's a thing, but as of right now, and because this is the last thing for 1.0, that feels like silly reason, and I feel like they should have had something for first place, because they're really, like, you get a buy, but beyond that, you don't get anything else. The only thing that was good were the Cavern Angels, or what was it? What's the card? The X-Wing?
Cavern Angel Zealot.
Yes. It's amazing. It looks fantastic. It's like a hard credit card plastic. It's got some spot gloss on it. The only problem is it's 1.0 only. And I think most people that pay attention to this and are going to a championship know that's the case. But it still just points out this rush and this kind of like, whoops, kind of... I feel attitude's the wrong word, but towards the whole kit in general. That's my rage.
All right.
anybody want to argue that or say anything else? I don't want to be the only one that...
No, I definitely see what you're saying about the juke. It's definitely... The DPI is terrible on it, especially the 1.0 side. It just
The 1.0s, yeah, is much worse than the other one. But like in trying to read the text, like if you just look at the text, it's so like fuzzy and clearly not their best.
Well, let's just hope that they're putting all their eggs in the 2.0 basket.
I hope so. I that's what I believe. You know, so I'm not going to fault them too much, but at the same time, I'm paying money to go to these store championships. You know, and people go to play the game, absolutely, but other people go to win and get the prizes because sometimes they're pretty cool. And to be disappointed that way, kind of sucks.
Yeah,
it does seem so odd that final card is not 2.0, and like for a while, in multiple tournaments, they've been putting out, you know, 1.0, 2.0 compatible cards. This is their replacement for a plaque because it indicates the first place, second place on it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Literally can't use it, you know, in 2 months.
Just put it in a shadow box and there you go.
Boom. No, it's in my wallet. Just, you know, show the...
Just every once in a while, pull it out of your wallet and try to pay for something with it, and then explain to the cashier how you want it.
Like, oh, hey, I'm a store championship. That's the only way.
Oh, my bad. Exactly. I thought this was my credit card, but it's actually I play this game and I got first place, and yeah, like what? How else are you going to use it any other way at this point?
So, all right, so let's start to close out. We have our newbie tip of the week, Mike. Since you're our special guest, you want to take this one?
Yeah, let's do it. I think my biggest tip is to find a community. For the first 2 months, I was really into the game, and I couldn't play at all because no one would play with me. You know, my wife would, gave me the first game. And she's like, I'm not doing this. find a good group of people. Find people who are better than you. Play frequently. Having a nice group of friends doing this with me feels great, and I'm meeting tons of people this way. And I'm learning. I learn in every match. I learn from all of you guys, and I appreciate that. Furthermore, if you really want to get deep in, play competitively, watch matches. I was doing a lot of that during, you know, the past season. Soak it in.
Yeah, definitely. All right, guys. So, couple things. The Seventh Dimension Store Championship is this Saturday. July 28th, I believe dice are down at noon exactly. They are capped at 20, so I think you should register online if you plan on going to it. East Coast Gamers and Gameskeep, we've mentioned before, is August 18th. We're still waiting on Red Caps and Wades to give us dates, and the Top Deck Group Championship is September 28th. All right, guys, before we close out...
It's 2.0.
It's 2.0. You heard it here first. The Philadelphia Liberty Squadron podcast in Jersey is 2.0.
Delaware.
Yes.
Crossing the Delaware. Let's get that win.
All right, Mike, you got any shout-outs?
Don't put me on the spot. No, I don't.
No shout-outs? Jonathan, you got anything?
No, I'm good.
No? And Rob?
I mean, I already shouted out Zach for his efforts at all the Kingsmen. Did a great job. Had to play a lot of his friends and was not very happy with that. So yeah, that would be it.
Yeah, I was want to say thanks to Brian at all the Kingsmen and thanks to Lou Gentili at Showcase for putting on these events. I know the turnout hasn't been great for these because everyone's kind of tapped out at the moment, but you guys are still powering through it and hosting these events for us to go to. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And to be honest, I feel like there were more people there than I expected.
Yeah.
Especially the showcase. We had 16 people. I really didn't expect that. You know, so yeah. So I'm glad that people are sticking around. I think that means that there's still enough interest and there's still enough that, like, when 2.0 comes and that first tournament hits, oh, Lordy, like honestly, the Top Deck Games Group Championship 2.0 tournament is going to be packed full of people. That's my, and if it's not, it's only because it's 2 weeks after it came out.
Are we going to be streaming that one?
We will be streaming, absolutely. I'm hoping to have full stream commentary and everything. So If any of us scrub out early, hop on the commentary and we can. We'll be streaming from the very get-go to the very end. So we'll have that posted all around. I'm hoping to, I don't know if we're going to stream Seventh Dimension, but I hope to be streaming the Gameskeep one full through. And we're still working out things for Nova when we get down there, if we're just going to try to piggyback up with different podcasts or something along those lines. So I think that's about it. Hopefully next podcast in 2 weeks, we will have a lot of information. 2.0 will be dropped at Gen Con, so we'll know as much information as we possibly could. And then maybe we'll have the app, hopefully. Maybe we'll have the Wave 2 announcement come out. I would imagine they're going to do that at Gen Con. If it's supposed to be released sometime in November. So they will probably be our next topics, and the Seventh Dimension winners will hopefully talk to them. All right, guys, that does it for today's episode. We hope to see you in 2 weeks, and have a great night. Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for being on.
Captain.
Captain.